Welcome to North Shore News and Interviews on Amherst Island Radio. Each week, we keep you updated on newsworthy events, happenings, and conversations that we've had with people in the local community and beyond.
A new transportation subsidy program could be coming to Lennox and Addington County. County Council voted in favor of supporting a local not-for-profit corporation as they apply for grants to assist low-income individuals and families with greater access to transportation. The corporation's founder, Ronald Yeomans, approached the county looking for a letter of support to accompany grant proposals for a transportation subsidy program. The program would subsidize cab fares with a subsidy of $6 per ride. According to staff's report, the advantage of using a cab is the door-to-door service, which benefits people with disabilities and parents of young children. It would also provide the ability to pre-book rides. The service would be available from 5 a.m. to midnight on weekdays and 5 a.m. to 1 a.m. on weekends. Director of Social Services with Lennox and Addington County, Lynn Chenier, spoke about the need for better transportation options in the area.
Transportation in small rural municipalities is always a challenge. We're quite a large geographic area with a smaller population, so public transportation is always a challenge in terms of ridership and affordability. So a nonprofit corporation is requesting a letter of support from the county. They've previously been to Pelas and it was supported as well.
Chenier noted the program would start in Greater Napanee with hopes of growing.
Initially, they're looking at Greater Napanee just because they're not sure how successful they're going to be with grants. They're starting small and hopefully they hope to be able to expand in the future to be the whole county. But at this time, what they're looking at is Napanee. They want to look at what the ridership is, the true costs once it's implemented and those kinds of things.
On January 9, 2024, the Deserano Transit Service implemented transit routes serving the Belleville to Greater Napanee corridor with a number of stops within Greater Napanee. The funding for this service expired on March 31st of this year. At that time, Greater Napanee Council decided there would be no extension made to the Deserano Transit Agreement. They decided at that time as well to explore alternate transit options, giving consideration to Greater Napanee's population and geography. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township Council decided to go ahead with a new skate park and pump track at Loyalist Park in Amherstview. Thanks to a confidential donor, the project will not impact the township's 2025 budget. It will be developed at no cost to the township other than staff time to oversee it. The project will be designed in two phases, with the first to be a standalone amenity with an estimated cost of $500,000. It's estimated that construction will begin this fall, with completion in late spring 2026. Council heard a presentation from New Line Skate Parks, an engineering firm with expertise in skate park and pump track construction. Now with approval, the company will begin a public consultation process that includes youth in the community as well as the general public. Any future operating and maintenance costs associated with the facility will be incorporated into subsequent municipal budgets as part of the standard budget planning process. Phase 2, including completion of the final features in the skate park, would be subject to consideration during future budget talks and would be constructed at a later date. The township's draft Parks and Recreation Master Plan is currently available for public review. Although community members are able to comment on the project, staff noted that to date, no feedback has been received. Vice President and Director of Business Development with New Line Skate Parks, Trevor Morgan, spoke about the benefits of the skate parks and pump tracks they build and the one they're looking to build in Loyalist Township.
Very integrated, green space, connections to pathways, color, texture, art installations that can be very exciting to put a signature, I guess, of the community within the architecture of the park, even through different lighting schemes, if that's something that's desired. And then accessibility, you're likely to have folks from the adaptive community who would like to ride this park. So yeah, every park has its story, and we hope there's a story to be told here for the township.
Morgan noted the potential boost in tourism the facility could bring.
A network of these parks are being created in communities across Canada and across Ontario, and there's a large population that will want to experience each different unique park and communities, and they'll purposely travel around, stop in these communities, visit, spend money at local businesses, maybe even spend a night. I know when I was 12 years old on the family trip and I was an avid skateboarder, I could be very influential to spend an extra night in a community if they had that one skate park.
Morgan spoke about the potential of events at the facility as well.
You're likely to have user groups and community groups that will say, hey, we would love to have some level of organized events there that could be lessons nights, some community-based contests and so forth. And so we really try to design a modern park with that in mind.
Councillor Paul Prodrick spoke about neighboring communities and their skate parks, as well as what a new one in Amherstview could do for the community.
I think the closest one to us is Napanee. And then you go to Picton's got a great site, but again, it's probably 20 years old now. I think it becomes a hub for gathering, and it fits into the master recreation plan. Also an opportunity to add something to the community. And I think we haven't had a recreational facility addition in well over, I'm going to say 40 years. And again, it's just through the leadership of a community member who wishes to help out in times where we don't have a lot of money to do a lot of things that we'd like to do.
Councillor Jake Ennis spoke about the donation and choice of the donor.
It's a very generous donation. They're really appreciative to the for the donation, and I think the donor's chosen well. It's a amenity that with an amenity that focuses on youth, and one that I think will be very well used.
Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend showed his appreciation towards the donor, as well as what the project will do for youth in the area.
It's incredibly generous and provides an amazing opportunity for us, and to appreciate the particular kinds of youth that something like this can engage, you know, based on the whole lifestyle and culture that goes with it. Not one I claim to understand. I think it's not just, you know, youth engagement writ large in some sort of big broad context. This is something quite specific that I think will cater to members in our community that otherwise don't have a facility like this.
Councillor Carol Parks noted the activity at Napanee's skate park.
I do go by the one in Napanee quite regularly, and it is a gathering place. You see all sorts of demographics and ages and different usage of it. So I fully support this.
Mayor Jim Hagedorn spoke about the progress in access to skateboarding facilities and shared a story from his youth.
I was in my teens on probably a $10 skateboard trying to go down the largest hill where I lived at the time, called Big Hill, and with blind corners. It's come a long way from when I was young. I've actually seen some of the, like Madoc, they have a nice one there. I remember when they were building the first phase, and I was kind of like, what is going on in there? And now to see it now, it's been developed into the whole park is basically devoted to this now. And it's packed all the time. It is something that is what I believe will be well used. And this is a great opportunity, I think, for Lilas Township to be able to provide another amenity new to the community that will be used, very well used, I believe, for an extended period of time.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. The East Lennox and Addington OPP Detachment Board is leading the way in Ontario through their first official year. Among all boards being set up in Ontario, the local detachment is the furthest ahead in procedure. Loyalist and Greater Napanee Community appointee Jessica Jones brought the board's first annual report to Loyalist Township Council. The report detailed the work they've done in establishing the board's bylaws and policies. The local board covers Addington Highlands Township, Greater Napanee, Loyalist Township, and Stone Mills Township. Mayor Jim Hagedorn, Loyalist Township Council's representative on the board, spoke about the work they've done and being leaders in Ontario.
There's already bylaws passed, and we're advancing quite quickly, making sure the governance is all well established. And it's nice to hear that we were at the leader of the pack at the provincial level as well, which I'm not shocked considering the ones that we're working with.
Jones noted some of the work they've done in a short period of time.
Our board kind of came into fruition fully in June of 2024, which, you know, automatically kind of eliminates half the year. But we are quite ahead of other boards in that we've moved quite quickly through the things that we need to do to get up to speed.
Jones explains the intent behind implementing OPP detachment boards.
These boards have been put in place essentially to concentrate on transparency, accountability, and communication between the municipalities and the provincial police force that services our areas.
Jones gives a timeline of the board's creation, current work, and what they're looking ahead to.
On April 1st, 2024, the Police Services Act was replaced by the new Community Safety and Policing Act. In the midst of a few hundred new sections spearheaded by the Inspectorate of Policing, there was the implementation of the OPP detachment boards. We did hold our inaugural meeting on November 14th, 2024, following one January 29th, 2025. April 24, 2025, you know, every 3 months, essentially, unless another meeting is called. At our meeting held on November 14th, 2024, the board did approve the 2025 budget. At this time, we are developing a procedural bylaw. It's a bylaw just essentially to govern the conduct, the duties and responsibilities of our members and the calling of meetings.
Jones explains how community members can contact the board.
As of right now, via the Inspectorate of Policing, any actual complaint or issue that would be above the board's ability to handle should, of course, go through the proper change Inspectorate of Policing. In regards to reaching out to us is something that they think that we could assist with in representing them when we meet with the detachment commander or Inspector Tovell. I would say the best bet would be probably to reach out to our clerk to filter that down through us.
Hagedorn spoke about the security and privacy concerns they've noted while establishing procedure.
At this point, I think everybody's still kind of getting our feet wet on the committee as well. And I think everything goes through the clerk. That would be the best. She shares information regularly with us. Due to the confidentiality and since Loyalist is our clerk, is the administrative staff for it, or the clerk's office, then we are looking at providing Loyalist email accounts to all members, even if they have other municipal accounts, simply so that all the policing information can all be used within the controlled setting of the Loyalist email system, along with all the securities as well.
Jones spoke about being an open line of communication to her community.
I've resided in and been fortunate enough and proud to call Bath home since 2012, and excited to be a part of this board as that representative. For myself, in my area, always happy to hear what anyone has to say and any feedback they have. I think the whole purpose of that board is to create that open line of communication.
Current members of the board include Reeve Henry Hogg from Addington Highlands Council, Councillor Bob Norrie from Greater Napanee Council, Mayor Jim Hagedorn of Loyalist Township Council, Councillor Sherry Milligan of Stone Mills Council, as well as two community appointees, each covering two of the four municipalities. Jones speaks about the process of finalizing the board's members.
There will also be one member that's appointed by the minister through the Public Appointment Secretariat. We don't know when that's to come about. I'm sure it's in the works, but we haven't been availed to a timeline on that. But we can expect an additional member to our board in the near future.
Jones notes the training members had to go through before being accepted to the board.
The training modules were developed by the Ministry of the Solicitor General for the purpose of meeting Section 35, Sub 2 of the Community Safety and Policing Act. The areas in which we were trained in were police governance, policing in Ontario, roles and responsibilities of OPP detachment boards, board member appointments, training requirements, code of conduct, and conflict of interest. So they were modules that we all had to complete before our appointment could be secured, and we had to illustrate how we met those requirements to ensure we were capable and prepared to serve on that board.
Hagedorn recognized the positive impact of the training.
Members that had to do all the training, it's also been very educational. I will say the Inspector Tovell has been excellent to work with, very, very knowledgeable. He's helped us mold into a good committee, I believe.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. According to their 2024 annual report, Loyalist Township Emergency Services responded to a total of 542 calls for service in 2024. This included a total of 65 fires, resulting in just over $2 million of loss. Fire Chief Kent Reedman noted an approximate percentage of accident calls that come from the 401.
When I look at the stats from last year, it's about around 100 calls were car accidents or motor vehicle collisions, exactly 100 out of our calls. So that accounts for about 18.5% of our calls are car accidents. Out of that, I don't have the specifics on the 401, which I can get, and it's probably a good number to actually keep track of. But I would, just a rough guess, we're going to look at probably at least 75%, give or take, of our calls, of our motor vehicle collisions would be on the 401. So a significant amount. So you're probably looking at last year, give or take 75 calls on the 401.
Councillor Paul Proderick spoke about the time spent on the 401.
The chief and I talked last night, and I was really intrigued by how much time is spent on 401 calls. I think people need to realize how much of, you know, our time is spent on the major highway.
Reedman provided council with statistics and general information on a variety of operational and division-specific aspects of their team in 2024. They welcomed Reedman as their new fire chief last year, along with two deputy fire chiefs. Just under 6,500 hours of training were delivered to staff in 2024. They counted a total of 29 more service calls in 2024 than in 2023, representing a 5.35% increase. The Amherst View Station responded to the most calls in 2024, being the primary response area for 225 calls. Reedman spoke about the breakdown of their annual report.
It's based on just the average of the municipality. We could separate the more urban areas out. It does create some significant differences within that reporting structure. It definitely can be done. It was just done as an average over the entire township.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. A petition with nearly 500 signatures helped Loyalist Township Council with their latest decision about the reconstruction of Main Street in Odessa. Ultimately, council voted on the option that aligns best with the petition to reinstate the existing cross-section. The report noted this option maintains the status quo for on-street parking, which was identified as an important factor by business owners and residents through project consultation. The report noted consideration will also be given to making adjustments to the existing layout around intersections in particular. Amy Dornekamp, owner of Mill Creek Vet Clinic on Main Street, spoke about the need for parking in the area, referencing surveys and public input.
While I support active living, Main Street is not the right location for a multi-use path. The 2021 Township survey showed that while 75% supported an investment in active transportation, over 65% of those respondents commute more than 10 kilometers to work, making it impractical. A county survey completed in the last couple of months found that 81% of the respondents said a multi-use path would not benefit them more than parking. The community has spoken. And their priorities are clear. Parking remains a greater need than a multi-use path in this location.
David Savage, owner of Odessa Home Hardware, mentioned the petition and the customers he spoke with, noting the history of the store and importance of parking.
We garnered about 500 names, and all our customers that we spoke to thought it was not a wise decision. And, you know, we've been in the village now since 1938 in the same location. To remove the parking on that side of the street or anywhere on Main Street would be devastating to any small current business or prospective business.
Dornekamp speaks about the existing shared parking and the potential of losing business.
There are only 5 spots on the opposite side of Main Street between Factory Street and Center Street. And those are already shared by the church, Home Hardware, my clinic, the bank, and the residents in that area. This is not enough parking. If clients struggle to park, they'll go elsewhere. And with 8 other vet clinics within a 15-minute drive, I'm deeply concerned we'll lose both current and prospective clients.
Engineering and Environment Manager Luke McDonald detailed the other options and why none of them were perfect.
There's no sort of slam dunk alternative to this. Each option has their trade-offs that are associated with it. The Force Main crossing, there's no existing crossing there now. So that would require work in water, that would require a number of permits from MNRF, CRCA, so on. So the cost would be considerably higher, as well as just establishing a new structural culvert crossing. The other option, while it may be less costly overall, there are significant concerns with the environmental condition of the property that the Babcock Mill rear yard is onto. Just some of the historic uses could lend itself potentially to contamination or things like that.
Councillor Paul Proderick addressed public concerns and noted the history of Odessa.
I appreciate Ms. Dornkamp's comment about the number of veterinary clinics being within a 15-minute drive. And we don't think of that, but it is. And again, it's the same for the hardware store. There's so many places within an easy access point. And I think when I go back, we've got an 1880s village that my grandparents came to on horse and buggy with 2025 traffic problems. And I don't think we can reconcile the multi-use pathways. I think we have to protect the businesses, protect the parking for that area.
Proderick also mentioned the concerns of cyclists in the area.
With the multi-use pathway, and I'm thinking of the cycling side of it, and I talked to a few who I would call hardcore cyclists who have told me things like they don't use that road. They go back Millhaven Road, back roads, and a couple of residents, and I was asking them about, you know, you have kids that age. He said, no, we don't want them on highway, they call Highway 2. And I also, on one visit, I stood just across from the veterinary clinic and the home hardware. And it was probably 35 cars that went by in less than 5 minutes. It's not the right location. I go back to the glory days of the Ernestown Eagles in the late 70s, and it's changed so much, Odessa. We can't cut off business growth. Odessa, I think, is in a bit of a renaissance, and the veterinary clinic, different things are coming back into the village. And, you know, without the parking, it's a choke for them, I think.
Dornkamp noted the importance of Odessa's current needs.
This isn't about resisting progress. It's about being smart, practical, and responsive to the needs of our township to keep Main Street functional, accessible, and true to the spirit of Odessa.
Township staff will now begin to explore alternative connectivity routes surrounding the Babcock Mill, Factory Street, and Shane Street. The report notes that unless directed by council, staff would not consider these projects a priority. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township is proclaiming June as Stroke and Aphasia Awareness Month. The Greater Kingston Victorian Order of Nurses approached Township Council with a proclamation request. The organization offers community support programs for seniors and persons with disabilities. Their stroke services programs offer free non-medical support to individuals and families affected by stroke and aphasia. There are monthly groups held in Sydenham, Kingston, and Napanee. Social worker and coordinator of stroke services with the Greater Kingston Victorian Order of Nurses, Amelia Leslie, notes the importance of awareness, highlighting statistics in Canada.
We have over 108,000 new strokes in Canada annually, with over 800,000 Canadians living with the effects of stroke, and stroke does happen every 5 minutes in Canada.
The organization encourages community members to recognize the warning signs of a stroke and to immediately call 911. They're also encouraging people to learn about aphasia and how to promote accessible communication. Leslie explains the medical conditions.
Stroke being a neurological condition affecting the disruption of blood flow in the brain. And because the brains are control center of everything, anything can be affected. When we talk about aphasia, it's a language and communication disorder affecting our ability to read or write or produce speech or understand speech, but not affecting our intelligence.
Leslie mentions the need for communication accessibility and the awareness of it as well.
We're often teaching the community about what's called accessible communication strategies. We think about accessibility as far as physical space, maybe having a ramp or an automatic door button, but we are also teaching folks about the communication accessibility.
Leslie notes the importance of Stroke and Aphasia Awareness Month in all communities.
We work all year to raise awareness about these neurological conditions, and June is Stroke and Aphasia Awareness Month in Canada. So we're especially inviting our communities to learn what stroke and aphasia are and how to help.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
This has been North Shore News and Interviews. If you have an idea for a story or want to create stories for this show, consider joining our 100% volunteer team. Contact Amherst Island Radio for more details.